You'll find our text in this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, part of which we've been reading together. The words are found in verse 37, very familiar words. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We find that the Lord Jesus is speaking forth these very words to a people whose hearts are filled with unbelief. He's speaking these words to a gathering, and the hearts of the people in the midst of this gathering have witnessed so much of the Savior's miracle-working power. They are amongst those who have already known what the Lord has done in the feeding of the 5,000, the great miracle that he wrought. And yet their hearts remain filled with unbelief. They do not know the Lord in a saving way. They have not received him. They have not believed on him. They are without spiritual understanding. They are a people without any kind of right spiritual perception. We can say that with certainty because we find that the Lord speaks to them in verse 26 of this chapter, and he tells them, he says, "Ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And then he went on to say this, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." He could see that their hearts and their minds were fixed upon the physical and the material, and the spiritual was not in view at all. So he sends forth the warning in those words, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And so he's speaking here to this people without any spiritual enlightenment, without any spiritual perception of things spiritual in their hearts, filled with stark unbelief, a people who were unenlightened, people who have been unmoved by what the Lord has already done in their midst and the words that he has already spoken. It seems that they're obviously a people without any concern for their soul, without any concern for spiritual things. And yet, to this very people, he speaks the words of our text in verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." That must have encouraged the heart of the Savior as he looked upon this people with hearts filled with such unbelief, lacking spiritual enlightenment, lacking any spiritual understanding, refusing to trust him, refusing to come to him, refusing to believe on him. And yet he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." It's as if the Savior is now saying to them, despite all that they have already heard, all that they have already witnessed, he's saying, despite the unbelief that's there in your heart, should there be anyone who has in their heart the least thought, the least concern, the least desire, even to come, then come, for him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's giving this word of assurance to them that if they come, then he will receive them. The coming to Christ is synonymous with believing on Christ. In verse 29, he speaks about believing. "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." That we believe. Then verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So the spiritual hunger will be satisfied by those who come. The spiritual thirst will be assuaged by those who believe. Those who come, the same as those who believe. You see, coming here describes the activity of saving faith. Because that's what saving faith does. When saving faith is exercised in the heart, it means a coming to Christ. It means a believing on Christ. What is it to come? It is to believe. What is it to believe? It is to cast our souls upon the Lord Jesus. And so it's clear from the words in our text here in verse 37 that there is a welcome. There is a welcome for all who come to the Savior. And it's just this very welcome that I want to have you consider with me for a short time this evening. The Savior's welcome, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I want you to notice first of all that if there will be a right coming to the Lord, if there will be a true believing on the Lord Jesus, then there must be a proper recognition of who he is. He does say clearly here to this people, him that cometh to me. Him that cometh to me. Notice he's not saying, it's the one who comes to my teaching. It's not the one who comes to my doctrine. It's not the one who comes to my church. Nor is it the one who comes to the ordinances. But rather he's saying it is the one who comes to me. And the clear lesson is set before us that Christ and Christ alone must be the object of the sinner's coming. Him that cometh to me. Ah, but who is he? Who is this Christ that the sinner must come to? Who is he in his person? Well, he is unique in his person. Unique in so many ways. And I think we see something of that uniqueness set before us in a verse here in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Because it's a verse we've already referred to. The Savior in verse 27 is sounding the note of warning about those whose minds and hearts are fixed and focused upon the material and the physical. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And then he says concerning the Son of Man these words, For him hath God the Father sealed. And he's speaking here about Christ. He's speaking here about the Son. And God the Father has sealed the Son. What does the word sealed mean? It means to certify. And he has certified that he is indeed the one and only Savior. He has certified that he is the one and the true Messiah, the sent one of God. And we are being taught here that the Father has put a special seal of ownership upon his Son, the Lord Jesus, as he has come to fulfill and work out the great plan and purpose of redemption. He's saying to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one and only one who can save. There is none other. And he sets him forth in that light in the verses that follow. Because we have verse after verse that's speaking about the Lord Jesus as the one who is the bread from heaven. The one who is the bread of life. He says himself that he is the bread of life. He makes it clear in these verses that he is the one who has come down from heaven. And so therefore they're not going to be left in any doubt that he is the one who alone can save their soul. You say, well, why emphasize the point? Well, I emphasize the point for this reason, that it is only this Christ who can save, and no other. I emphasize this great truth and reality for this reason, that the sinner cannot make up some kind of a Christ in his or her own mind and say, well, I'll come to that Christ and get salvation. You won't. There is salvation alone in the Christ of God, the sent one of God, the Messiah himself, the one who is unique in his glorious person and revealed as such. And only those who come to him will be saved, because he is God manifest in flesh. You see, the sinner needs one who is more than just a man. More than just a man. The Lord Jesus Christ is truly man, but he is more than man. He is the God-man. He is the one and the only one who has more merit than any man. He is the one and the only one who has more power than any man to break the chains of sin and all that holds the sinner in bondage to their sin. He and he alone is the one who can come near to where the sinner is, because he is not only God, but he is truly man. He possesses a real humanity. He possesses a true humanity. He is the one who wept. He is the one who suffered, and he really suffered. He is the one who shed his life's blood, because he is truly man. And there is a man in the glory tonight, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, this very one who is the Savior of sinners. And the Lord Jesus is saying to this people, him that cometh to me, him that cometh to me in the uniqueness of my person, but him that cometh to me in the perfection of my work. And we find that in this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, there is emphasis placed upon the perfection of the work of Christ. We turn to such a verse as verse 51. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. What's that a reference to? That's a reference to the cross work of Christ. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Here we have brought before us the perfection of the work of Christ. But there's a question that we must ask. And the question is simply this: what kind of involvement is needed to partake of this bread? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Well, that same verse tells us the participation that's required. If any man eat, it's emphasized again in verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Look at verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Him that cometh to me, yes, but also him that eats my flesh and drinks my blood. That's what the Savior is saying. But what does he mean? It is not that we eat the literal flesh of Christ. It is not that we literally drink his blood. That is the heresy that is set forth by the Church of Rome. That is the blasphemy that takes place on Romish altars. But the truth that is being brought to our attention in those words that the Lord is speaking here in these verses in John 6 is this: that if you will come to Christ, You will come to him in the uniqueness of his person, yes, but you will come to him in the perfection of his work, and you must have a participation in Christ crucified that is as real. This is the point. That is as real as the participation that your body would have in the food that you eat. That's the truth that's being set forth here. We said in the introduction that those who come are those who believe. And those who believe on Christ are those who come to Christ. But what is believing? What is believing? Believing is an inward, spiritual act of the heart. That's what believing is. And it's something that's real. It's something that's real. It's something that actually happens and actually takes place when a sinner comes to Christ. A sinner actually believes on Christ. And so therefore the eating and the drinking that the Lord Jesus is referring to here in these verses in John chapter 6, it's speaking of faith. It's speaking of believing. You must believe on me as the crucified one. That's what he's saying. You must come to me as the crucified one. You must come to me as the one who gave his flesh for the life of the world. You must believe on me as the one who went to the cross to bleed and die. You must come to me in the perfection of my work, that work that has satisfied the justice of God, that work that has appeased the wrath of God. And only as you come in that way, only as you believe in that way, are you coming to Christ for salvation? Are you believing on him to the saving of your soul? And if you come any other way, then you're not coming, believing. You're not trusting in him. And so as we notice the welcome that the Savior extends in our text here in this verse 37, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It's coming to him in his person and its uniqueness and in the perfection of his work. But then I want you to notice secondly that there is clearly a requirement here in our text. It is those who come that he will in no wise cast out. We could say there's an indispensable necessity. This is the requirement. It is to come. Now, who comes? It is the sinner who must come. It is the sinner who must come to Christ. But verse 37 commences with these words that the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me. Who's he speaking of here? He's speaking of that electing grace of the Father. When there was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world that vast multitude that no man can number. And he's saying of them, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh. So there is the requirement placed upon the sinner, and it is to come. Because God does not come on your behalf. God does not come for you. You must come as a sinner. Oh, there are some who say, well, if God has decreed and God has elected to save me, then I'll be saved. And there is nothing that I need do. Well, why then did the Savior say these words? Him that cometh. Him that cometh. The truth and the reality is those who refuse to come, those who don't come, those who will not come, they will not be received. They will not be saved. they will not be in Christ. But how must you come? Well, you must come as an individual. It's not without significance that it is the singular number that is used here. It's not the plural number, it's the singular number. Him that cometh to me. Him that cometh to me. You come as an individual. You come personally. And all who come, he will in no wise cast out. But you must come. You must believe. That's the requirement. But you must come without any reservation. And we're going to see in a moment or two that there were those that the Lord Jesus refers to in this sixth chapter of John's Gospel who did come, and they came with reservations, but they didn't come and believe savingly on the Lord Jesus. You say, well, what do you mean by reservations? They believed, but they were believing with reservations in their hearts and in their minds. Well, it's obvious that they were doing this because we find that the Savior makes mention of those who were murmuring. In verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Why was he saying that to them? Because they were manifesting disagreement. They were manifesting discontentment with the words that the Savior was speaking. As they listened to the Lord Jesus, as they heard his word, they weren't saying, I accept this word without reservation. No, they were finding in the word that the Savior spoke to them something to argue over, something to disagree with, something to dispute with. And the sinner who finds something in the word always to argue with and disagree with and dispute with, and if you're in the meeting tonight and you're in your sin still and a sinner outside of Christ, if you are not going to accept the word of God and submit to the teaching of the gospel, then you're not going to come to Christ. You're not going to believe on the Lord Jesus. Because you can't savingly believe on Christ with reservations in your heart about the word of the Lord. And the people here obviously had these reservations. And they were murmuring, and they were complaining, and they were voicing their discontent. But what did the Lord say to them? Well, he said in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Why did he say that? Why did he say those words at this particular juncture? Was it not that there were some here who felt that they had ability of themselves? In and of themselves, they felt that they had ability, that they weren't helpless. They weren't hopeless. They felt that they could come with some of their own supposed virtues, come with all of their qualifications and all of their reservations. And the Savior is making it very clear in those words in verse 44 that only those who come will be those whom the Father draws. Then someone might raise the objection and put forth the argument, oh well, look at those words in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Well then, how can a sinner come? How can I come? Well, I say this to you, look at them again, no man can come to me. Can is a word of ability, isn't it? But you see, the bottom line in all of this is this, that the sinner will not come
the sinner will not come.
Because back in the 5th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 40, what did the Lord say? Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Ye will not come to me. So the cannot that we're reading of in verse 44 of John 6 is the will not that we're reading of in John 5 verse 40. And sinners cannot come to Christ basically because they will not come. And why is it that sinners will not come to Christ? Because their will is biased away from God, against God. They have a will that is inclined towards sin and evil and unrighteousness and wickedness and ungodliness. So there must needs be a renewing of the will. And when the will is renewed by the grace of God, then and only then will there be that coming and that believing on the Lord Jesus. This verse 44 of John 6, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That verse is not there to discourage you. It's not there to discourage you from coming. Those words are not there to hinder you from coming. They are put there to let you see that you don't have the ability in and of yourself. Is that not mercy? Is that not mercy? That the Lord would show me as a poor sinner that I don't have the ability in and of myself. That I have the proud heart by nature that needs to be humbled. You see, I said that there were those who did come with reservations, but they were not coming truly to Christ. And as we read on down this 6th chapter of John's Gospel, for example, in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, they weren't true disciples. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, that is all the words that he has just been speaking to them, and we have looked at some of them in the previous verses, they said, this is an hard saying. What they were really meaning by that was, this is rather repulsive. All that the Savior was setting before them, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And then in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples, the same people, went back and walked no more with him. Because they thought they could come with all of their reservations and their qualifications about what the Lord had been saying. Oh, I want you to see what is required here. The requirement is him that cometh. But it's coming accepting God's word. It's coming in submission to the word of God, to the gospel. It's coming realizing that you come only by God's grace. But you still must come if you're going to be saved. You still must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to know God's salvation. But that brings us then in the third place to notice the reception that the Savior speaks of in our text in John 6:37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen to those words again. I will in no wise cast out. What are they saying? I will receive you. I will welcome you. What will happen if you come to Christ? Two things. The sinner who comes to Christ believes on the Lord Jesus. He'll be received by the Savior. That's the first thing. You're not going to find a closed door. You come in all of your guiltiness, but you'll receive his pardon. You'll come in all of your helplessness and all of your hopelessness, but he'll give you strength. The other thing that you will know is this: you will be kept. He'll keep you. He'll keep you. What comfort would there be? What assurance would there ever be? If it could possibly be that when a sinner comes and believes on the Lord Jesus, then after a period of time, the sinner could be cast out and cast away. No, the words of the Lord Jesus is so clear here. I will in no wise cast out. That doesn't mean, of course, that when we come and trust Christ, that then we'll want to just live as we please and do as we like. No, the sinner who truly comes and believes on the Savior has no longer any desire to do as he pleases. Because in coming to Christ and in being received by Christ, they're given a new heart with new desires. Desires after truth and after righteousness and after holiness. The Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in their heart, stirs the heart to holiness of living. And there's not the desire to go in the ways of sin. What's the reason for the receiving and the keeping? Because it's obvious that they go together here. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will keep, I will receive, and I will keep. I will hold. What's the reason for the receiving and the keeping? So important to understand this and know this. Perhaps you may have heard someone speak of what the Lord has done for them, and maybe in the course of the words that they speak forth, they might speak about the saving and the keeping power of the Lord. Well, the reason for the saving and keeping power of the Lord is given to us here in these verses. Look at verse 38. What does the Savior say? For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Do you see that? Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the reason. In those verses, 38 to 40, there's the reason why there's the receiving and the keeping. Verse 38 begins with the word for, and that follows immediately from our text. Look at it in its context in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For, let me give you the reason, the Lord is saying. Here's the reason why. I'll receive and I'll keep. For I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And of all that I have been given, I'll lose nothing, and I'll raise them up at the last day. Why do I receive and keep? Because it's the Father's will. It's the Father's will. And I came to do the Father's will. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. And what is the Father's will? The Father's will is that everyone that's given to me, I'll raise up at the last day. So all that believe the Son, by coming to him, he will save, he will keep. That's why he will welcome you and save you and keep you. And those who are here in the meeting tonight who have already come, who have already believed in the Lord Jesus, they can bear testimony to that. That they were not turned away, that they were received, that they were welcomed, that the Lord saved them, and the Lord has been keeping them ever since. Keeping them ever since. By his power. But the question is, as we close, is there a desire in your heart to come? You say, well, I'm not sure. I think there is something of a desire. I am concerned in my soul that I'm not right with God, that I'm not in Christ. But maybe that desire and that concern it's just there. I assure you it's not there naturally. It's there because God in grace and mercy is speaking to your heart, speaking to your soul. That you might come to him, that you might trust him, that you might believe in him. You say, but if I come, if I believe, will I be saved? You have his word. You have his word. Will I be kept? You have his word. You have his word. And his word is truth. It's truth. Absolute truth. You can believe it with confidence, with assurance, with certainty. Because this word never changes. The word that we read tonight, if we're spared until tomorrow or to next week or to next Sabbath evening, we could read the same word. It's an unchanging word. And though your circumstances will be changing and your feelings will be changing, the word of God never changes. You can rest upon it because it's God's word. And his word to your soul is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.